From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Our topic today is the new Hanover County school bond amidst the current financial landscape. In a 3-1 vote, county commissioners agreed to put the bond question to voters on this November's ballot. The one opponent on the board, Chairman Woody White, couldn't be with us today, but in an interview earlier this week, he explained his opposition. We have aired part one of that interview. It's posted on our website at whqr.org, and we plan to broadcast part two later this week. There doesn't seem to be much dispute over the fact that county schools are in dire need of structural improvements. What is up for debate is how to pay for those renovations. Recently, County Manager Chris Coudray, who will join the discussion later in the show, announced that if this bond passes, he projects a 4-cent property tax impact initially. That 4 cents does not include past debt, for which he says he will propose a 5-cent tax rate increase for the next fiscal year. If both of those items come to pass, it would amount to a 9-cent tax rate increase for New Hanover County property owners. The city of Wilmington has a separate transportation bond on the table. If that passes, it would likely bring a 2-cent tax increase, adding up to 11 cents for residents in the city of Wilmington. But there are some who take issue with that estimate, and we'll explore today what the various funding options are and what questions county staff wrestle with when it comes to paying for it all. But first, let's find out exactly how this $160 million school bond would be used. Joining us today is the superintendent of New Hanover County Public Schools, Dr. Tim Markley. Welcome to Coastline.
Thank you for having me.
During the next hour, you're invited to join our discussion. Do you have a question about the school bond for Dr. Markley? If so, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us at coastlinehqr. Dr. Markley, first of all, what would this $160 million bond pay for?
Well, it has three primary focuses: capacity, dealing with a growing population. We just finished our 10th day. We are 470 students over what the state projected us. So they were projecting us to increase, and we exceeded that increase by 470. It also includes security, and it also includes infrastructure issues. So when you're looking at this, those are the three primary focus for this bond. Now, the capacity issue is addressed in a couple of ways. Renovations at four of our older middle schools to bring them up to date, to improve some of their internal infrastructure, classroom renovations, a new Northeast Elementary School, replacement of two older schools, College Park and Blair, that both will gain some capacity with, and there's also some safety issues with those rebuilds, major renovations at Laney and at Hogger to gain some capacity for those as well.
And how did we establish all these needs? What prompted the understanding that we have all of these needs? And as I understand it, this $160 million bond was not the initial need. There was a much greater need.
Correct. The state requires us to do a regular statement of needs. And in our last one, which was 2010, we actually identified $390 million in needs. Now, realistically, we're not going to have a bond of $390 million. So we went in and looked at those at that list, and we pared it down to about 25 projects. We then went to the county and said, here are our top 25 projects. We looked at their debt structure. We looked at what their debt policies are, and based upon what they could fit within their existing debt policy, that we came up with a number of $160 million, which was the top 14 projects on that list.
You talked about school security. How did this issue come to be one of the foremost issues?
Well, we obviously had the tragedy at Newtown up in Connecticut, and we did a study, commissioned a study on our schools, and there were certain recommendations. I mean, increased SROs, better access, controlled
access. And SROs, school resource officers.
More controlled access points, and we've implemented some of those already. The bond helps us implement some of the others to include security cameras at all of our schools. If you look at College Park is a 1964 structure, and it was originally designed as an open school, and it has six separate pods. And we've had to go in and put temporary walls into those open classrooms to make real classrooms. So we've got students who are in rooms where the walls don't go to the ceiling. We have students who are in the center pod area with multiple groups doing small group instruction.
So when you're in one of those classrooms in which you've got a faux wall, can you hear what's going on in the classroom next door?
If they're loud enough, yes. and you look at the libraries in one pot, you're in another pot. So if you have to go to the library, you've got to leave the building, go outside, and then go into another pot. Or if a student gets called to the office, they've got to leave one of those six pods, go outside into the main office area.
And for those of us who aren't in that circumstance or don't have kids in the schools, why is that a negative, having to leave one pod to go to another?
Well, it puts you outside. And given the concerns that folks have about security today, anytime a student goes outside, not in a group, but maybe as themselves or only with one other person, there's the potential issues. We have some very special needs students who are what we call runners, who because of whatever their issues are, as soon as they get outside, they'll take off. And in a pod school, there are multiple opportunities for that. Plus, it means somebody just walking by has greater access to more doors. So there are those serious concerns. Blair Elementary School, every classroom door opens up out to the outside, not into a hallway, which is a would be contained kind of structure.
And so when you're looking at College Park and Blair Elementary, you're saying these two schools are so structurally inefficient and just wrong at this point that you have to raise them completely and start over. You're talking about replacing the entire school.
Correct. College Park, we looked at that. There's no way to redo that school without tearing it down. And we did look at renovation with Blair and maybe doing some external renovations. But at the end of the day, the renovation costs become the same as new construction. So with new construction, we'll gain the security features of a newly designed school, and we'll gain capacity.
Are we still paying for past school bonds?
Yeah. A school bond is the analogy I use. It's a mortgage. When you build your house, you take out a mortgage. When you build a school, you take out a mortgage that we call a general obligation bond. And they're usually 20-year bonds. And we've got bonds going back a various number of years. And those are starting to come off in fairly large amounts. Every year, the amount that you pay goes down. So, yes, we're going to be bringing on new general obligation debt, but we also have past debt that's coming off. And so when we worked with the county, we said, here's the bond structure, and here's the debt structure of the county. And they've got a very conservative debt policy. I mean, as a county, we have a AAA bond rating, highest you can get for the municipality. And so we realized that $160 million kept that bond, stayed within their bond policies and their debt policies. And so we worked with that.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about what a $160 million school bond might do for New Hanover County Schools and how it could affect property tax rates. If you have a question for Dr. Tim Markley, superintendent of New Hanover County Schools, give us a call, 910-343-1138. You can also send an email to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. Dr. Markley, some of the opponents that I've heard from, the opponents to the bond, have said, I don't have kids in the school system anymore. I'm either a retiree who moved here from somewhere else, or my kids have grown up. They're not in the system anymore, and I don't really want to increase my property tax rate. What do you say to those folks?
Well, I say two things. One, let's look at the history of past bonds. Going back to the bonds that were passed in the 90s, they had potential tax impacts associated with them that were never realized. In other words, tax rates didn't go up. Because property values increase, sales tax revenue increase, and they've been able to structure what they're doing with that. Now, that said, I can't tell you that taxes won't go up with a new bond.
Chris Coudray has as much said they will. To the possible tune of 9 cents.
Well, school bond, the 9 cents number is not a school bond number. When you look at the impact of the school bonds, it's 4 cents, and it's only in actually the first year, and then it goes down every year after that. So, and Chris will talk more about that when he comes in. The other issue I tell those folks, you came here because of quality of life. And one of the quality of life issues is a good school system. And a good school system is a school that takes care of its students, provides a good educational environment for those students to go to school. And so by supporting schools, you're supporting that quality of life. The other piece is when companies look to relocate here, one of the first questions they ask is, tell me about the school systems. And I've had several conversations with businesses that were relocating about the quality of our school systems. And so when you're investing in schools, you're investing in the community and not just for yourself, but for everyone, so that it becomes a good place to live. Plus, if we're a vibrant community, tax rates go down. We have a 55-cent tax rate approximately, which is one of the lowest in the state. And it's because of the things we're doing in this county economically. It's because of the quality of life. It's because of the school systems that all drive that number.
I've heard one opponent say that kids can learn in a shoebox. Not that they should, and he wasn't suggesting that they should, but he's saying year after year our test scores go up, year after year we get more funding from the state, so why can't we live within our means?
Well, I would tell you that we live within our means. When we put this $160 million number out, that was a number we worked with the county. We looked at what is your debt policy. The debt policy says here's how much debt we're willing to have per resident. Here's the tax rate we're willing to have to go with that. So we live within those means. We also use a number of different ways to address this. We have 88 mobile units, which are supposed to be temporary classrooms. Well, we have some of those mobile units that are older than the teachers who are teaching in them, not very temporary. And when you look at living in Southeast North Carolina, a temporary mobile unit has issues that come with it. They're more susceptible to mold. They are more susceptible to security issues. Another case where a kid has to come out of the building sometimes to go back into the main building. So that is not a great learning environment. And there are numerous studies that talk about where a positive learning environment impacts the education of that child.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. Today we're talking about the new Hanover County school bond that voters will decide on in November. Do you have a question for School Superintendent Tim Markley or new Hanover County Manager Chris Coudray? Give us a call. And certainly when we come back from the break, we have Michelle from Wilmington on the line. Well, she has a question for Superintendent Markley. The number to call with your question is 910-343-1138. You can send emails to coastline@whqr.org. This is Coastline. Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. With me in the studio, once again, Dr. Tim Markley, new Hanover County School Superintendent. Welcome back, Dr. Markley.
Glad to be here.
Also joining us now in the studio, new Hanover County Manager Chris Coudray. Welcome to the program, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
We're talking about a $160 million school bond on the ballot this November. If you have a question for Superintendent Markley or County Manager Chris Coudray, we'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us. Tweet us using Coastline HQR. Michelle from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi, it's Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
I'm just wondering, I pick up the children at Pine Valley, and since the beginning of the year, they've put these locks on all the doors, and all the children, all the classrooms open to the outside. So they put the locks on, and what happens is the little tiny children, and I'm talking about five-year-olds, go out the door to go to someplace else, like the library or the office, and they get locked out. And they're left outside, totally unsupervised, walking around, some crying, because they can't get back into their classroom. They can't get into the office. They can't get into the cafeteria. And nobody even knows these children are out there. And if I was, say, a pedophile or a non-custodial parent who shouldn't have access to the child, I would just be sitting out there waiting.
Dr. Markley, have you heard of incidents like this where little kids have actually gotten locked out?
It's one of the issues we were talking about with Blair. Pine Valley and Blair are basically the same school layout. Every classroom door opens to the outside. And Pine Valley was on our original list of 25 schools we presented to the county. But because of where the money fell, they were in that what would be called that second list. But it's a concern that we have with these kinds of schools and one of the reasons why they need to be replaced. There are procedures at the school for when a student leaves the classroom, and if she'll contact me offline, I'll be happy to follow up with her.
All right,
on
Michelle.
That individual concern.
Michelle, thanks so much for your call. Dr. Markley, if this bond didn't pass, what's your next move?
If the bond doesn't pass, then you've got a couple of options, and neither one very good. You could go to what are called certificates of participation, which are basically bonds that aren't voted upon, and they actually carry a higher interest rate. So the need doesn't go away if we don't pass the bond. It may be another way of funding it. Or then you're looking at more mobile units, which bring with them the issues of examples of what you just heard on with that phone call. You're looking at then using space that's not really classroom space, that may be and putting in overcrowded classrooms. We started Carolina Beach and work our way up to the rest of the county, and I don't have an empty classroom in any school heading up the county.
Chris Coudray, New Hanover County Manager, will there be a property tax hike if this bond passes?
Yes. Yes. That is, in my opinion, not up for debate. If the voters approve $160 million in general obligation bond debt, then obviously there is a requirement to satisfy that debt. And there are differences of opinion in terms of what that rate should be and ultimately what it would be. But I think it's fair to say if the vote passes, there will be a tax increase. If the vote were not to pass, to Dr. Markley's point, there still is $160 million worth of needs that New Hanover County, part of its constitutional and statutory requirement is to provide adequate school facilities. So the challenge is still there to find the revenue to pay for school construction.
That's one of the basic functions of county government as you see it.
Absolutely.
And earlier, actually, we were talking about different ways of funding school systems, school needs. And Tim Markley, you talked about being from the Northeast where there's a different taxing authority. Can you tell us about that?
In most other states, the school board actually has taxing authority, either through their own powers or through taking it to a vote. In North Carolina, we fund our schools primarily from the state level first, about 70%. And then the county government in most places kick in about 20 to 25%. And then some federal funds make up that third of that. So as a school board, we have zero taxing authority. And the way the state divides it up is the day-to-day costs are generally picked up by the state. And our county has been very generous in supplementing that. And then the capital cost or the building cost are the responsibility of the county government.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about what a $160 million school bond could do for New Hanover County Public Schools, also how it could affect property tax rates. And Diane from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi. My name is Diane. I'm a retired person who came down from the Northeast. I'm a retired teacher. And my statement to people who don't want to pay for education is that if you don't educate your community, if you have systems.
Diane, you're breaking up a little bit. Are you on a cell phone?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. You're going to have more crime and you're going to have more vandalism because you're going to.
Okay, Diane, if you could give us a call back from a better location, that would be great. And I think Chris Coudray, her point was that this isn't just, and this is a point that Tim Markley was making in the earlier segment, it's not just about funding for my kids or your kids. This is about making New Hanover County a high-quality place to live. She was linking education to the crime rate.
Well, no question, schools and school facilities and the quality of the education that's being delivered in those facilities is probably the single biggest determinator for people with children who are moving. And also, I heard Dr. Markley speak to it when he's met with businesses, what allows ultimately a decision maker who's relocating a business to choose where to go. Education, public education, is critical. And one of our key functions as a unit of local government is to provide not only the capital facilities, and that is almost exclusively the county government's responsibility, but to also supplement the education delivery that's taking place in the classroom.
We've talked about the pay-as-you-go model a little bit. What would happen? Let's say the bond doesn't pass and everyone wakes up Wednesday morning, November 5th, and suddenly you're confronted with needing to deal with these dire needs with the money that's available. How do you approach that?
I see it from a funding perspective. There are, let's say, four basic options out there. And then what the school system does certainly is its decision as it relates to use and curriculum. But if the school bond doesn't pass, the first option is to do nothing. And I'm of the opinion, as a county government who is responsible for providing facilities, that's not really an option. We can look at certificates of participation, which in effect are debts that are authorized via the statute but are not voter approved. And the consequence of using that kind of funding system is you ultimately pay more. The third option is to look at pay as you go. And certainly we are positioning ourselves, at least as it relates to a new school in Porter's Neck, to do that. That's something that the County Commission and the Board of Education agreed to. And so we have a small situation of that.
But this is a new elementary school that's going up in the northern part of the county.
Yeah, we are committed to, if the bond doesn't pass, building at least that new elementary school.
The county already owns that land.
Well, we're negotiating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Suffice to say, with or without the school bond, we are in a position to build a new elementary school in Porter's Neck. That's going to happen. So that is an example of pay as you go. But when you look at $160 million of needs, it will take, without still addressing the revenue side and whether it's 60 cents or some other rate, we're going to have to address the revenue side. And if we don't, pay as you go is a multi-generational effort. And the problems that are there just get worse, and new problems present themselves. But it is a legitimate and viable option, and we are using it part of the way. And perhaps a fourth option is to look at the state again and ask and petition that there be a statewide bond referendum for public education, which was done some 12 years ago.
Is this
in
something
the state
that
of North Carolina?
Have you talked with managers of other counties, other school districts? Is this something that has some legs?
Specifically to that issue, no. I have suggested to our Board of Commissioners, as part of its legislative priorities, beginning with the long session in January, that be one of the elements that it advocate for with the Association of County Commissioners, and that there be a statewide bond for public education, but also, in a broad sense, economic development. So staying where we are in the current situation, it is not really viable.
Now, even a statewide bond usually has a matching requirement where they would give you $1 for $1. So there's still an obligation for the county district and any statewide bond usually to contribute funds. And given our current political climate statewide, that's going to be a very difficult sell. And pay-as-you-go would be like trying to pay-as-you-go for your own home. I mean, you take out a mortgage on your house, and a bond is a mortgage on a school building.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about what a $160 million school bond might do for New Hanover County schools and how that could impact property tax rates. If you have a question for Dr. Tim Markley, superintendent of New Hanover County Schools, or New Hanover County manager Chris Coudray, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. Chris Coudray, we heard from Michelle, who described a heart-wrenching story about a child getting locked out of one of these elementary schools, one of the elementary schools that's due to be replaced, Pine Valley, because this old design is just not
tenable.
Now,
Pine Valley was on the original list, but when it got reduced to $160 million, it's would be on the next set of projects.
So we know we're moving forward with this new elementary school in the northern part of the county. If the bond didn't pass, what do we do in a circumstance like that? Is this so dire that we would find the money for that right away?
I think we would look to the school system to identify how has its set of priorities changed, if they have at all, and then look at any number of funding options, whether it's certificates of participation, whether we set up for some collection of projects, pay as you go. I think we would have to look at a set of alternatives, but irrespective, there is still going to be the responsibility to address whether we do it in 10 chunks of $10 million at a time, or we do a $160 million bond question. Now, we're still going to have to cross the bridge because we have a responsibility to address school facilities. We're going to have to cross that bridge.
And as you know, we've been talking to opponents of the bond earlier this week to find out what the arguments against it are. Some criticism of the needs that have been established. Someone told us earlier this week, a bigger gymnasium. Are you kidding? We're going to go into debt for that? He grew up playing in a dirt field and he was perfectly happy. Why bigger gyms?
Well, gym does serve two purposes. I mean, one, most folks go there if they want to watch a high school basketball game. But at the end of the day, a gym is a classroom. And if I have one small gym built for a school that was supposed to be 1,400 and is now 2,200, I need a second classroom for that. The other issue is also a safety issue. In the current structure at those two facilities, you cannot put the entire school in one place to hold a school meeting. Or if I needed a place to put them all securely at one time, the current gyms don't have the capacity to do that. So, I mean, gyms serve a function beyond just being a place where high schools play their athletics. It's a classroom, and it also has a safety component that goes with it.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the $160 million school bond on the ballot for New Hanover County voters. Chris Coudray, voters in New Hanover County within Wilmington city limits will also be deciding on a $44 million transportation bond within city limits. So if we follow your math, and this could get complicated, especially on the radio, but we're talking about initially anyway, a 4-cent property tax increase to deal with the bond, this $160 million school
yes.
bond. Just that bond.
Just that bond.
Then
by
we're
itself.
Talking about past debt.
Correct.
And you want, regardless of what happens with this bond, you want to see a property tax increase next year of 5 cents to pay for past debt.
Yes.
Then we could be looking at another 2-cent tax increase for folks within the city of Wilmington. So that adds up to 11 cents, if my math is correct. That sounds like a pretty large tax hike in one fiscal year.
Let me try and first of all clearly draw the distinction that we're talking about three very separate issues, and one has nothing to do with the other. And I think it's appropriate to address looking back in the fact that we had a bond and the county share of a $35 million bond in 2006, a $164 million community college bond in 2008. The consequences of those decisions is what is requiring for us to maintain the level of service that our citizens, in my opinion, enjoy but also expect. If we are going to maintain the level of service and also satisfy the debt obligations from those two bonds, our rate has to be 60.4 cents on July 1st. That has nothing to do with the school bond, the question in November, nor the transportation bond. If the school bond passes, it is my administrative opinion that the tax rate should be raised an additional 4 cents to cover the cost of that indebtedness. The average over 20 years is 3 cents. So some years it's more, some years it is less.
And you think we should be paying more initially?
I believe that we should raise the rate 4 cents in the first year, when it is most closely aligned with the will of the voters, assuming they've passed the bond. That 4-cent increase is directly related to that decision by the community. It is most memorable in their mind. And I'm suggesting 4 cents because I believe that we should raise – I'm sorry, every new dollar that we raise should be directly and clearly identified with that $160 million, and it should go into a debt reserve so that every new dollar raised, every voter, every taxpayer in this community can have certainty that those dollars will only go to pay for the debt from that bond. Every dollar raised will go to one specific purpose.
You're listening to Coastline. If you have a question for Dr. Tim Markley, just a couple of minutes to get that question in. The number is 910-343-1138. You can also send an email to coastline@whqr.org. Dr. Markley, what are some of the options for school systems that don't have any county funding in North Carolina?
They really aren't. I mean, the county is no matter whether you do COPS, whether you do pay-as-you-go, whether you do bonds, county government is the one who funds and builds schools in North Carolina. Every once in a while, there's a state bond that assists with that. But in terms of the capital portion of schools, that is constitutionally a county responsibility.
But there are counties that just, as you've said, don't have the ability to contribute anything to
the
school
system. Well, they
don't
contribute to the operating side of the house. Like, we have a lot of teachers that are locally paid. And that helps us fund arts. It helps us fund programs that other counties don't have. Most counties are putting their dollars into the capital side and very little into the operating side. We're fortunate to have a great partner in the county with helping us expand our programming, which makes us an attractive community. Now, as far as the tax piece, we're about to come up with a major reval in 2017. So while I see 4 cents on the tax on the ballot, reality is, like I said, historically, that's never been the match for what the actual cost of a bond becomes.
You think that's a worst-case scenario?
I think that's a worst-case scenario. And I appreciate the county and their conservative nature. I want my county folks to be conservative. I think at the end of the day that the tax rate won't be – the impact won't be as high as that.
You're listening to Coastline. Chris Coudray, how much would a 4 cent tax increase mean for a $100,000 property?
It would equate to, on an annual basis, about $7.50 a month more. So $90 for the year on an average home of $225,000.
You're listening to Coastline. Tim Markley is going to leave us in just a moment. But before you do, Tim Markley, final thoughts on this school bond. Yeah. Why is this so important to you?
I'll go back to the three basic premises for this bond. One is to address capacity. Two is the safety issue of it. And third is that infrastructure piece. We haven't spent a lot of time on that, but that's the technology. That's also upgrading a lot of systems that will save us money down the road and repairing and renovating a lot of older classrooms.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking about how a $160 million school bond fits into the landscape of New Hanover County's finances. It's on the ballot this November. How will you vote? If you have a question for New Hanover County Manager Chris Coudray, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can send emails to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. This is Coastline. Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Once again, joining us in the studio today, New Hanover County Manager Chris Coudray. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you.
Also with us, the county's finance director, Lisa Wurzbacher. Welcome to Coastline.
Thank you.
We're talking about how a $160 million school bond would affect the county tax rate and the major projects county officials have in the pipeline. If you have a question for either of our guests, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us using @CoastlineHQR. We have an email from Anne, and she says, is this a good time to fund a needed school bond due to low interest rates? Is it similar to a mortgage where you can lock in a low fixed rate for the 20 years of the bond? How does that work?
Certainly, the rates are as competitive as they have been and probably more competitive than they will be looking forward. Now, that being said, New Hanover County is, because of good, strong management, good, strong fiscal policies as adopted by the board, we hold a double AAA rating. So whenever we go to the bond market, we will always win very favorable interest rates and terms. But that said, certainly the rate today is more than likely lower than what it will be looking forward in 3 years or 5 years.
What is the current debt load of the county? Woody White, county chair, who is also a vocal opponent of this bond, says we pay $52 million a year just in debt service. And he made the point in an interview that we aired today that if $52 million wasn't going to that debt service, it takes about $18 million to build a school, so we could build at least a couple of schools with that money. Is he right?
The county currently has about $400 million in debt, and that goes back quite a number of years. Dr. Markley mentioned earlier prior school bonds. So we have debt out there that relates to school bonds. We have debt out there that relates to community colleges, building of the Humanities and Fine Arts building, Union Station downtown. All of those things were funded by debt. So and we have debt that also relates to general county buildings and that sort of thing. So there is debt out there for a variety of purposes.
And the cost of that debt annually right now is about $52 million.
Yes.
That's correct. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the school bond that's on the ballot for New Hanover County voters this November and how that fits into the overall financial landscape for the county. You can give us a call if you have a question for the county finance director or the county manager at 910-343-1138. Jill from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering, I'm actually in support of the school bond. I think that the school district and the teachers and everyone that works there has a really hard job and deserves the community support. I also live in a part of Wilmington that has seen so many new neighborhoods, new houses, more children flooding into the schools. If the concept of an impact fee that developers pay, not only to help pay for our schools, but to help pay for our roads, so that there was money coming in on the front end to carry part of the burden that all the growth creates for us. I mean, growth is a great opportunity and has real challenges. Related to that, I'm wondering also if there's not a way to tap into the companies to create private-public partnerships where the companies that ultimately benefit from an educated community help to support the costs of the schools, not just putting it on the backs of the property tax base.
That's a great question, Jill. Chris Coudray, do we have anything like that in place?
Let me address the impact fee first. And that is not something that has gone without great debate with all 100 counties in North Carolina, and for many years in the early part of this decade was part of the legislative discussion. But quite candidly, statutorily, counties are not allowed to charge impact fees. There are a collection of, say, less than six that have existing legislative authority. But the balance of the counties do not have the ability to unilaterally charge an impact fee unless the General Assembly gives us the authority.
Under what circumstances would the General Assembly give a county authority to do something like that?
I can't think of one in the last 15 years that has happened. In fact, in the middle part of the first decade of this new century, the General Assembly did give counties the option for a quarter cent sales tax or what is known as a land transfer fee or impact fee. And that was defeated by bond in every county that ran it. And ultimately, the General Assembly did away with the statutory authority to even pose that question to the voter. So I don't see a public policy environment in the near term that will be open or receptive to the idea of impact fees or land transfer fees.
And just out of curiosity, you mentioned you think there might be six counties that have that authority. They have the existing legislative authority. And why are they different?
They were able, in almost every instance in the 1980s, before large growth cycles in this state, were able to secure special local authorization. Several of those counties actually have impact fees in place. Other counties have the authority via the voter to approve it, and those counties have not had it approved.
Jill, thanks so much for your call. We have an email from Janet. She says, I agree as a community. We are all invested in making sure students receive the best education. It's for the good of all. However, over the years, improvements have been made with new schools and all the bells and whistles. Yet throughout the world, USA has a very low ranking of student academics. My question, there are a lot of children who are extremely talented academically and artistically who come out of a homeschooled environment where there are no frills as far as physical structures. Wouldn't the money be better spent on the teachers and the classroom supplies?
That is really a question, I think, better posed to the school board who deals with curriculum in education delivery. Our responsibility, and Lisa and I can only speak to the county role, that is to build facilities for the public school system. And, oh, by the way, not the charter school system. We're not providing capital to the charter schools in this county. Our responsibility is to provide capital school facilities to the traditional K-12 system.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about a $160 million school bond on the ballot in New Hanover County, what it could do for the school system, and what it could mean for the property tax rate. If you have a question for County Finance Director Lisa Wurzbacher or County Manager Chris Coudray, give us a call at 910-343-1138. We'll also read your email if you send it to coastline@whqr.org. One of the other options for funding school renovations was, we hear a lot about the growth of the tax base and why isn't the growth of the county. We hear about all these population trajectories. This area is going to see so much growth over the next several years. So in light of that growth, why can't we just rely on the increase in revenue that will come from that?
Let me say, and I'm sure Lisa will be glad to speak to the model that she's used, and it assumes growth in our tax base. But we have to be realistic about where we are and where we have come from over the last 5 or 6 years. When we did our last revaluation that was effective January 1st, 2012, and the revenue raised with our budget that started July 1st, our tax base had shrunk 15%. Our base went from $34 billion to $29 billion. We are in the process of a revaluation now, and I speak with our tax administrator every month, most recently 2 weeks ago today, about what does that reval look like. And he is telling me with a high degree of confidence that we will possibly recapture all that we lost. So even with the reval that's effective in 2017, and that's still well into the future, our base may not be what it was just 2 years ago. So that we just have to face that reality. Yes, we're growing. Our population is growing. I saw something that in the last 3 years, I saw it today from the state demographer, our population locally has grown by 5.4% in 3 years. Our tax base for 2 years has grown less than 0.5% every year. So certainly we look forward to the revaluation, but it is not, in my professional opinion, it is not going to solve the revenue challenge that we face.
What about raising the sales tax rate then? This is an economy based on tourism. Why can't we have people who come in here to enjoy the beaches and who leave help to fill that gap?
I think that's a fair question. Again, sales tax, just as we talked limitedly about the impact fee, the ability for a local government, a county specifically, because we are the ones who levy sales tax, we can only levy the rate by which the General Assembly gives us the authority. And we have, quite candidly, as it relates to general purpose funding, maximized our ability to implement a sales tax. So if we were to raise it for general purpose or education beyond what we have in place today, that would take legislative authority.
We would have to get legislative permission. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the $160 million school bond on the ballot in New Hanover County, how it could affect property tax rates. If you have a question, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You also have, Lisa Wurzbacher, a hefty reserve fund, as I understand. And some people have said, why aren't you just using some of that reserve to pay for these renovations?
That's right. The county does have what we term as a fund balance, and that's money that's set aside. And we developed a policy, I believe it was last year, to have a minimum of 21%, 21% fund balance policy, which means 21% of the expenditures, the operational expenditures. And we have that, which also helped us to upgrade our bond rating. So that was good for the county. But we have that because we don't have a consistent cash flow throughout the year. The county's – your taxes are due in January, and so we don't receive that money throughout the year. We have times when cash is lower, and then we have January when cash is coming in the door. So the county does need those reserves. And also for unexpected expenditures or needs that come up, we need to have that reserve as well.
And what are examples of unexpected expenditures that you might use the general the reserve fund for?
Well, I'm going to give you an example of a project last year. We had a request from one of the beaches to help fund some of their improvements as well. So things that come up like that, there may be a project at one of our government buildings that perhaps is in need of renovation and comes up and perhaps something breaks and we need that additional funding to help fix those things.
You're listening to Coastline. We have just about 5 minutes left in the show. If you have a question about the school bond or the county finances, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also send an email to coastline@whqr.org. Joseph from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. I was wondering, this is my own idea. When you purchase a house, which I have in Wilmington, and you purchase it, and that's your tax rate. And when they increase the tax rate, why the people that purchase their house, they're purchasing that house at that tax rate. Why can't they keep that tax rate until the property is resold? And because what actually happens is what they can do, the people that tax, is they can keep raising taxes and price people that lived in Riceville Beach for 40 years right off the island because they can't afford the taxes. You know, I mean, there's like no benefit to getting old.
Oh, you can say that again. Chris Coudray?
I mean, they could raise the tax rate on purchases after the date they raise them. Anybody that purchases a house, they raise the tax rate is raised.
Joseph, thanks so much for your call. We'll let Chris Coudray take a crack at that.
Well, I think first, fundamentally, the Machinery Act would expect and requires that we fairly and consistently apply tax policy across the board. And so we're not allowed or even in my own opinion on good public policy in the ability to offer varying tax rates in the same jurisdiction based upon your time and ownership. Now, that being said, when someone buys their property, that property, whatever the tax value is on the books, it remains flat unless they make improvements or when a revaluation occurs. So in effect, from a taxing perspective, if your house is on the books today at $250,000 worth of value, that is what is on the books from a tax perspective next year and will be the case through 2017.
Okay, briefly, we have just a couple minutes left in the show, but there is another person out there. The former county manager, Bruce Schell, has been putting forth another idea that this school bond would actually have less than a 2-cent tax impact if you use the debt that's coming, the money that you wouldn't be paying. This past debt, he's saying, is rolling off, and you can actually talk about the net cost and not have to deal with a 4-cent tax increase. Is it possible that we're overblowing it here?
Not at all. And I have the utmost respect for Bruce. In fact, I wouldn't be sitting here having a chance to interview with you and work with Lisa if it wasn't for Bruce Schell. But on this issue, we just fundamentally disagree. And I'm of the opinion what he is presenting as an option is not viable. It assumes that every dollar that's going out in debt service, when it sunsets, that it can go to new debt. And that's just not a possibility.
And that's this edition of Coastline. I'd like to thank our guests, Dr. Tim Markley, Superintendent of New Hanover County Schools, County Manager Chris Coudray, and County Finance Director Lisa Wurzbacher. Thanks also to all of our listeners and those who called and emailed to join the conversation. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Join us next week. It's a station conversation with Cleve Callison, Bob Workman, and WHQR's Board President. They'll answer your questions about changes afoot here at Coastline's new time. Noon. Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. Producer is Ken Campbell. Associate producer is Lindsay McGrath. Our music editor is Bob Workman. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.